From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February the 14th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. I'm Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
What is the value of joining a geospatial professional organization? Are you getting the most for your membership fee? And do social networks like LinkedIn and Facebook replace one of the most important aspects of professional societies, networking? We'll discuss that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. You can easily leverage GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine in unison to construct a larger, more complete geospatial picture. GeoMedia delivers powerful GIS analysis and management, enabling you to integrate your geospatial resources. Erdos Imagine incorporates industry-leading geospatial image processing and analysis and remote sensing capabilities. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial and register for our upcoming webinar. More than ever before, the geospatial technology sector is moving pretty fast in terms of software development cycles. They're speeding up. There's more data than ever before that is available to process and analyze. There is a popularization of geospatial technology in the media. And as professionals, we're asked to keep up the pace. And for education, awareness, and professional development, we as individuals have turned in the past to professional societies to bring us the tools to improve our skills and other things like networking. So, Adina, I think it's time to revisit kind of the question, are the societies that we know and sometimes join, like GITA, ERISA, ASPRS, are they doing their job? And why today would you join?
Well, I'm going to push that back at you with another question, which is think back to the earlier days in this field, and do you remember why you joined that first society? Because I remember why I joined. And I don't remember which group I joined, but the reason that I joined was because I could get a magazine then called GeoWorld free with my membership. And if I did it exclusive to the membership, it was quite expensive, near $100.
Right.
And the membership part of it was, yeah, I didn't really care so much, but the magazine to me was very valuable. Well, now, of course, most of those kinds of industry publications are free, like Directions is. So you have to look beyond that for the why you would join. Now, why did you join back in the day? Or did you?
You know, I have a hard time remembering what exactly I joined. I think at one point I was a member of ERISA. I don't think I was ever a member of GITA. I do remember getting the ASPRS journal because I was in remote sensing. So that was a benefit to me because I wanted to read the articles in that publication.
And that was a real journal. That was not an industry publication.
Right. And that was, I think, peer-reviewed articles at that point. In order to keep up with what I was interested in, I had to read that journal.
And we didn't have the internet then.
And we didn't have the internet. The same thing with when I was into more professional geology, I would read a magazine called Economic Geology. Although I don't think know if there was any association associated with that publication, but if I was doing my job as an analyst, I had to be more technically astute, and the only way I could do that was to keep up with my professional journals.
And maybe that's all been, or much of it has been negated just by the internet. Is that possible?
I think it's certainly being circumvented by what you can find on the internet, and I guess I would put three big areas of focus for joining a professional society, and we can validate whether that's really the mission of some of these societies today. And those three are education, certification, and networking. My belief is that many of those, if not all of those three areas, could be done without joining a society. So I don't know why I'd pay my money.
And I have to say, I find it hard to find compelling reasons to spend the money, because you're right. Most of those things, plus maybe a few others, if you look through the benefits of any of these organizations, usually number one on the hit parade is discount registration to our events.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So certainly you could pay more and go to the events. Sometimes they list job opportunities, But it's my sense that any job opportunities that are made available through these professional organizations are also made available through a whole variety of other tools.
Right. You have online job boards from even different specific areas of the country, and certainly with specific disciplines that I wouldn't necessarily have my first inclination to go to a professional society to find information about new jobs. I think that there are just different ways of developing community-like professional groups outside of an organization. And I would put it out there that some of the social media sites kind of do exactly what we expect from a professional society, which has become better networkers. I think all you have to do is take a look at the membership list of subgroups in LinkedIn and find that there's all sorts of ways to communicate with people in your particular discipline. You can get a weekly newsletter. You can interact with specific members. You can do online polling. Many of the tasks of some of the social media sites are already replacing what societies do. And I'm wondering if the societies themselves have to reinvent themselves.
Just what we said this far is suggesting that, in fact, yes. Because the other big thing that these organizations do is provide education. And they do it through their conference events, through webinars, through sort of paid special classes, you know, toward certification or toward a particular topic. And that stuff is terrific, but I wonder if there are even better places to get that experience and professional development, if you want to call it that, either through a vendor or through a university. And this is what's starting to happen more and more, in the same way that we have this informal connection with people through like a LinkedIn or Facebook or I'm thinking of Stack Exchange, where the technical people ask questions and answer questions. We have these informal meetups, either at conferences or just in your local area. You just have, you know, get all the GIS people together at a bar and hang out. No planning required. The money is maybe paying for a drink or two. Sort of shoot the breeze there and connect to your local people.
Yeah, and the dev meetups and the WARE camps are usually low cost or no cost in many respects.
Right, it's much more informal than these go to a city and stay in a hotel for 4 days and sit through the papers and go to the parties and meet the people in the hall. I've made the comment in the past that the best part of those conferences isn't the sitting in the sessions, it's the moving between sessions where you bump into people or follow up with people who you've heard ask questions or speak at those presentations. And these informal meetups are much more like, instead of having 90% of your time spent in papers and 10% in the hall, this is 90% in the hall and 10% doing papers.
Right, right. And maybe even that's a great argument for having merely exhibitions and not conferences, which some conferences have done in the past. But it really begs the question of the value. And if the value is networking, as you say, then there's other ways to get it. It just seems to me that the professional societies have not gone down the path of exploiting what we think that they should be good at. Maybe that's education, maybe that's something else, but they haven't taken the initiative to reinvent themselves down the area, which they have a competitive advantage to do. They have to justify what it is where I'm going to put my time and my money to get on a plane and do the things that they still want me to do, which is going to the big annual events.
Right. Well, back in the day, again, how would you know who the local GIS people were in your local area? Well, you joined the regional version of ERISA or GITA or ASPRS, and you'd get together with them, and that's how you'd meet these people. Now, you meet them online, and you find them online. You go searching through LinkedIn to find somebody who knows about what's going on in GIS in Concord, Massachusetts. And you can find them.
And I find
to be a member of anything special, right?
Right, and I find that my most valuable trolling on LinkedIn is do exactly what you say, is find out what this person is currently doing. In fact, I would argue that if I'm looking for what's the latest going on with a particular individual that I know professionally, I go to LinkedIn. Because generally, you're going to keep up your profile because that's my business resource right now. That is the professional social network that people utilize most often.
Right, and if you can't find what you're looking for there, you might go to Google+, you might go to Facebook. Different people use these in different ways. The other thing that's interesting in terms of that networking experience are these more focused social networking sites that are aimed at geospatial. And I'm thinking right now of a brand new one that just popped up in the last beginning of this year, which is GIS Nation. Its whole mission is to connect up the geospatial folks online. It has a whole variety of different tools to find the right people, different students versus professionals, and all this stuff. I wish the best to anybody who wants to take something on like that. But like you, I think the tools that we've got already, Stack Exchange, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, it's hard to even make the argument that that's going to be any better.
Yeah, and there is also a similar social network for geospatial professionals being promoted now by our good friends down in Brazil, Mundo Geo, and they're boasting several thousand members at this point. I want to go back to the issue of reinventing themselves, or even to the point of whether the organizations should truly combine. In certain situations, and I know that for the fact that, like in the Netherlands, for example, all of the individual organizations combine to form a single geospatial professional organization.
And Australia too, right?
But here again is they've taken the action to say, you know what, it doesn't make sense for us to be scattered like this. We have a common mission. Let's all join together. And you and I have both suggested in the past that the existing professional societies ought to combine, have a single annual event to form a neutral venue, and get us all together in the same room. And I still think that's a worthwhile endeavor.
I do too. And I think if that doesn't happen, these organizations are going to continue to get smaller. One of the things that has not happened, when you talked about sort of keeping up and changing with the times, changing the mission, one of the things that I feel, and the organizations can correct me if I've got this wrong, when I go to an event, when I go to the ERISA event, it feels like I see the same people year after year after year, and the new blood isn't there yet. And I know there are efforts like the Vanguard Cabinet, which is sort of trying to get the young people involved. So there are efforts to move those things forward, but I still feel like these are sort of the professional organizations from 20 years ago when I started in the field.
There's no compelling reason then to go to the events if they're going to talk about the same things and have the same people. There, I think, was value in the past in a GITA where in the very beginning people were evaluating their technology needs. Well, we've moved beyond that. In certain sectors of the geospatial community, if you wanted information about starting your GIS, you would go to these conferences. But so many people have made that choice already. So many people now are going to the vendor conferences because that's where they're getting the educational benefit. And I see those events as growing. We all know that the ESRI conference continues to see improvement. I even see this happening at the Hexagon conference, which, of course, you know, went ahead and bought Intergraph and ERDOS, and that will grow, I believe, because people have an investment in those technology choices. So there is a shift to go to the vendor events. The only other neutral venues I see are places like the GeoInt conference, where that particular segment of the geospatial community is growing for whatever reason, whether that's the defense money or that there is new job opportunities. But it's limited growth in the other professional societies that we've known in the past.
I think that's true, and I think our demands for these events are changing too. Whereas we wanted this broad stroke of what's going on, the more mature the field gets and the more mature the individuals in the field get, the more they know exactly what they want. They want to hang out with the developers who are working on the same platform that they are, or in the same language that they are, or in the same industry that they are. We get much more return on investment if we can narrow that down. So these smaller events are more interesting. And let me throw this out. While it used to be lovely to know your local GIS compatriots, so if you're the city manager in this town, you want to know the city managers in the neighboring towns, I think that's still true. But I think it's less true because I think geography is mattering less and less. So I think you're much more interested in, if you're an Intergraph city, you're much more interested in hanging out with the other Intergraph cities, even if they're not nearby, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's true. Yeah.
Is there anything that these organizations are bringing to the table that we can't get elsewhere?
I would argue that there is still value, but I think they really have to narrow their scope. I think there is the growing need for certification.
So stop there. Certification. Mm-hmm. I can think of two organizations that do certification. One is ASPRS, and they have a very hardcore certification process with really hard tests that you have to take, and it's a very narrow field of people who do that. And then you have GISHI, which is its own organization, and all it does is do the GISP thing, right? It doesn't really have anything to do with ERISA anymore.
No.
So there's two, and they can continue to do those things. That's great.
And GISCI, GISHI, is going to change in several respects, because the element of a true examination, not just a process by which you gather your credentials, is coming. And it's going to be based on the geospatial technology competency model. So in that sense, that particular group will continue to improve their certification process. And so there is going to be value there.
But that's not a professional organization. That's a certification organization.
No, that's right. And okay, so there's an element that kind of got away from the professional organization. I would say that the value in networking is kind of gone. I don't need to network. And education, which is the first thing I mentioned, you can kind of do you can get from other places.
Now, there is one thing that I think these organizations bring to the table that we can't discount, but I'm not sure that they're doing it strongly, successfully enough that we've grasped it as a particular benefit. And I'm sure you're wondering exactly what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say advocacy.
That's a really good endeavor. I don't know how they're going to accomplish that. It means reinventing themselves, as we suggested before. How would you expect them to become more of an advocate for us?
They start to write advocacy agendas. The leading players in the advocacy space clearly are MAPS, which is basically an organization that is all about the business of its members being successful in the geospatial business, right? So that's what they do, and they're really good at it. NISGIC puts out an advocacy agenda, and they do fund specific projects toward advocacy, and that's really good, but I don't think that's a very specialized kind of organization. That's not really a professional organization in the sense of everybody can be part of it. What everybody else has sort of done is tried to pay attention to what's going on and get together through the meta organization of COGO to do advocacy. That has not really worked.
Well, and it failed. COGO failed.
I wouldn't go so far as failed, but it certainly hasn't worked for me. If these organizations want to offer advocacy, they've really got to hold up what it means, what they're going to do, how successful they're going to be. It costs money to do that kind of advocacy. I mean, look at what MAPS does and how they fund it. I don't think that the professional organizations really are in a place to do that.
Well, if they don't find some way to reinvent themselves, they will go away and they will become less relevant, given what the needs of the professionals in this technology sector need. I don't see any other way unless they take a hard look at reinventing themselves and the benefits that they provide to their members. Otherwise, they're going to disappear.
Well, and I think we need to sort of even couch that in slightly different terms. You said they're going to become less relevant. I think they already are less relevant. They're going to become even less relevant. I mean, when was the last time you read an article in one of these organizations' magazines, newsletters, journals, a post to a group that they support or that is behind their firewall that has made you go, aha, I learned something new?
It's been a while.
Whereas I think people would, I would make the argument that every day on Twitter, something comes up that just totally floats my boat. And I don't have to pay a cent for that. All I have to do is carefully select the people that I want to follow.
Well, for our listeners, we value your feedback, and we'd like to hear what you think. If you are a member of a professional society, tell us what you think. Tell us why you would join a society and what benefits you're getting. So if you'd like to comment, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. That's all the time we have for today. This podcast is brought to you by Integraph, providers of GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine. GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine feature the widest range of native data format capability on the market and a solid commitment to open standards from the OGC and ISO providing seamless integration with current and future business systems and keeping you free from proprietary lock-in. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial. From us at Directions Magazine, we'd like to remind you about our upcoming webinar series. We've got a bunch for you this month in February, including our geospatial technologies in real estate. Find more information at directionsmag.com/webinars. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.